later we're going to hear some of his story, but before we do that, I'm really excited to introduce Zoe to you. And those of you who've been around in our Ashwood Sunday meetings the last few weeks, we've been imagining together what it looks like to live life in certain different ways, what it looks like for us as Christians to live a life of faith, to live a life of prayer. Last week we had a guest speaker, Roger Bretherton, with us, helping us to imagine what could it look like for us to live a life of hope in a world which very often, I don't know about you, doesn't always feel like there's a lot of hope around. This morning, Zoe's going to speak to us and she's going to talk about what it looks like to have a new life in Jesus Christ. And she's got special people are going to pop up and join her as well. So there's going to be cameo appearances. It's going to be very exciting. We're going to pray now. We're just going to ask that God would speak to us this morning, that as Zoe speaks to us, we believe very clearly that God wants to speak to us as well. And if you're a guest with us this morning, then I'd invite you as well just to listen to what Zoe says and allow a wonder this morning whether God wants to speak to you too. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for your love for us, which never fails. And in these moments, as Zoe speaks, we ask that you'd help her to speak really clearly the words and things that she's prepared, and for us to listen and to hear what you're saying to her, to us, through as Zoe speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Matt. What an exciting privilege to speak this morning on Baptism Sunday and speak about a new life in Christ. And all of the subjects that we've been covering and will be covered all talk about what that life in Christ looks like. But this morning I just want to kind of draw out a few things that might change for Aaron this morning and that will have changed for some of us and could change for some people if they wanted to make a decision to follow Christ. I'm just going to start by asking Janet to come and read a passage from the Bible. This is from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3 if you want to follow. It's from the New International Version, which isn't always the easiest version to read, but it just uses some words that I particularly want to draw out this morning. So don't panic if you don't immediately understand this. It's quite a complex passage, but we're just going to draw out a few little things from it this morning and hopefully explain them to make it a bit easier to understand. Thanks. Okay.
Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
Thank you, Janet. So just in that last bit, it talks about you being included. And so that I just want to point that out this morning, that everyone who's included in this, whether we've made a decision, Aaron making a decision today, or we've not, this message is for everyone. We're all included. And the first thing I want to draw out of the passage is the fact that we're chosen. It points this out in verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. In verse 5, it talks about predestination, us being predestined, which is about God choosing us a long time ago. And in verse 11 as well, it says, in him we were also chosen. So God chooses us for this new life in Christ. And this morning, Aaron is choosing that new life in Christ. He's making a choice. He's chosen to turn to Christ. And later on, he'll make some declarations. And one of those will be about, I repent. And so that's a really difficult word for some of us. It's a familiar word. You're in church. But if it's something you've never heard before, I'm just going to go back to the Bible to look at what that meant in the original languages that the Bible was written in, because it wasn't written in English, and so we translate it a little bit differently. So in the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, the beginning bit of the Bible before Jesus was born, the word there is sub, which means to turn from evil and to turn to good. And then in the New Testament, in the Greek, which is after Jesus or during Jesus' life, I'm really rubbish at pronouncing these words, by the way, even more rubbish than Roger was last week. That's metanoia, which means a changing of mind or regret or remorse. And both of those are about a conscious decision to turn away from one way of life to a new way of life. And that's what Aaron's doing today. He's making a conscious decision to leave that old life behind and step into a new life. And we choose this new life in Christ. So when we're talking about what's it like to live a new life in Christ, it's something that we've chosen. It's not something that just happens. It's a decision that we make that leads to that new life. But going back to this passage in Ephesians, as well as us choosing, before that, we are chosen. And that's really exciting, because we often focus on the fact that we're choosing it. But like, this passage points to the fact that actually, before we were even consciously making that decision, we were chosen. I'm just going to ask Tom to come out and share a little bit of his story. Tom shared his story last year at the Youth Weekend Away. Come on, Tom. I'll talk while you're walking. And I just thought there's parts of his story that just really illustrate this really dead clearly, that before we even make a decision, God's on our case. So, Tom, I know there's loads of things in your story from before you even were... God was even on your radar, that now you can recognise it was God on your case before that. So let's start with the chip story. Can you tell me a bit about the chip story?
Yeah. When I was hanging around, I used to just hang out in town, just load on, used to hang out, just misbehaving and going into mischief. And this guy come down into town and said he'd buy us all chips if we listened to him talk to us about God. So we just listened and that. Everyone asked questions. I didn't stay till the end, so I didn't get chips, but apparently he did buy chips for everybody. And at the time, it didn't really make any impact on me. It didn't change the way I was going to go on my life, sort of thing. But later on, it was something that I looked back on and I thought about, and it obviously some seeds were planted in my life then.
There's something about a Bible as well that was long ago.
Yeah. Somebody gave me a Bible when I was little, and it just sat on the shelf for must have been 15 years or whatever, and did absolutely nothing. But then one day, when I really needed something, I picked it up and opened it, and it kind of like spoke to right where I was at that particular time. It was only later on I found out that it was Neil Hudson's family that gave me the Bible. So that's quite good.
It's coming together. So something about a video as well, and some songs. Put them both together.
Yeah. The video one was just something I'd put a video on just to record a film or something like that, and I'd just forgot about it. And when I played it back, it got a... It wasn't the film, it was a meeting, a church meeting, and I watched it, and it was, I can remember one of the songs was A Banqueting Table, and I remember watching it and thinking, I could go to a church like that, I could go somewhere like that, and so that was just another time when like God was trying to get my attention. There was a couple of songs. One was, it was a UB40 song. It was called The King's Step. And I used to listen to it all the time. And I never like really listened to the words. And then when I eventually, at some point, heard the words. And the first, it went through all these different steps. And the first step was, know that there's one God and only one. And the last step was, now you know the truth, pass it on. And then it spoke about repentance and forgiveness and loads of different things throughout the song. Basically, it was the route to salvation, and I'd never like really heard it sort of thing. There was another song that really helped when things were really tough. It was in the really dark days. I kind of like, I knew there was a devil. I believed in the devil and evil before I believed in God, because I kind of seen that. And because of stuff that was going off around me and that, at night time I would get really scared. I was scared of the dark. I used to have to sleep with a light on, and yeah, I was just scared all the time. And I used to play this song, and it was called Watchdogs of the Night. And it used to talk about keeping the hungry wolves at bay. And I'd play it and play it, and even though I didn't know God or anything, it was almost like as I was listening to it, God was there keeping the wolves at bay, literally, for me anyway. So that was the song.
And let's just talk about the guy at work. That's quite an exciting thing, isn't it?
Oh, the guy at work. Now he was the only Christian who worked at the same place that I worked, and I used to give him such a hard time. It was like they were opposing spirits. I used to swear at him. I'd never do anything he asked me. Just really, really, I was horrible to him. Really horrible. And like, I knew he was praying for me, because if I worked with someone like me, I'd be praying for me, because, because I was really bad. I was horrible. And it was, and each other, I was all, things were still all right when he started working there. But then, as my life fell apart and everything was just going really bad, he was praying. Now, we never talked about God. He never invited me anywhere or anything like that. But it was like God had put him there for the specific reason of putting up with my rubbish that I used to dish out to him, and to pray for me. That was his purpose for being there. And that was quite a big thing. And then there was my sister who's here. She took me in, gave me somewhere safe to live, and she brought me to Ashwood Church for the very first time. And it was on that first time I came that my new life in Christ started. That's it.
Thank you, Tom. There's loads more to Tom's story, so if you want to talk to him about it, I'm sure he'd be really happy to share it one-to-one, more so than coming to the front. But I really appreciate him doing that, because I just think it really illustrates to us, and a lot of us can think of God moments before we made a decision to follow Jesus. But I think Tom's story just illustrates that God's on our case, and he's chosen us before we even start to think about him often. And it's only when we look back that we can see that. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 talks about being chosen. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." And I think that's just amazing. It's the truth of new life in Christ. Yes, we make a decision. We repent. We turn away from our old life. But it's because we're chosen, because God called us and picked us out. And just to point out as well, that passage in Peter continues, "You are a chosen people, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And going back to Ephesians, in verse 12, in verse 11, it's talking about us being chosen. It then says, "In order that we may be to the praise of his glory." And so it's just that whole sense of God loves everyone, doesn't he? We don't doubt that. He loves everyone in the world, but he chooses some of us. And with that being chosen comes a responsibility to be for the praise of his glory and to declare how wonderful God is to all of those around us. Okay, so when we have a new life in Christ, we're chosen, we choose, God chooses us. And the next thing I want to draw out is that when we have a new life in Christ, we're washed clean, and we'll see that this morning. Aaron will make his promises and declarations, but then he'll get dunked in the water. And that seems a bit weird if you're not used to it, but it's a sign, a symbol of us being washed clean. and free of all the wrongdoing and bad stuff in our old life so that we're ready for this new life in Christ. And verse 4 in Ephesians 1, it talks about, for he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And then verse 7 talks about redemption and forgiveness. And that's kind of the process that makes us holy and blameless. When we make a choice to say sorry and repent, we receive God's full forgiveness. And that is because of his death on the cross. He took the punishment for all the stuff we do wrong, our sin, and paid the price to redeem us. And that's a really complex thing to get our head around if we've never heard that before. So I've just got a little video clip that might help us to understand the fact that all of us have done wrong. And so we all deserve a punishment. But because of what Jesus has done, he takes that punishment for us.
There once were two little boys who were best friends. They played together, went to school together, they even went to university together. They were inseparable, until their careers took them in very different directions. One became a lawyer, the other a criminal. As one was promoted to a judge, the other disappeared deeper and deeper into a life of crime. Eventually, the criminal was caught and sent to trial. On the fateful day in the courtroom, he came face to face with his old best friend, the judge. And so, the judge had a dilemma. He loved his friend, but he had to do justice. And so, fined him the appropriate penalty for the offence. It was a huge fine. There was no way he could ever afford to pay what he owed. But then, the judge took off his robes, went down, stood with his friend, and wrote out a check covering the cost. He paid the penalty himself.
That's just like a really simple way of helping us to understand redemption, because it shows that there is a price to pay for the wrong things that we do. We can't just get off, but Jesus is willing to pay that price for us, to write the check and take the punishment. And because of that, and because we're forgiven and Jesus has paid the price, that means that when we step into our new life in Christ, we can be holy and we can be blameless. Again, holy, that's a bit of an unfamiliar word to some of us. It's something we don't really always understand unless we're in church a lot. And going back to the Bible again, the Greek for the word holy is hagios, which means sacred, pure, and blameless. And I was really interested to learn that that's an adjective, a describing word. It describes who we are. And that is the truth, that when we take our new life through baptism, we are then described as holy, who we are in God's sight. And of course, all of us who are Christians, we know that that doesn't make us perfect in those few seconds. We still make mistakes and we still do things wrong. But it does set us apart, it makes us different, and it makes us holy and blameless in God's sight, and sets us on a journey of becoming more and more like God. And after we've made that decision, after we're made pure and holy and blameless by God, the truth is that we should look different. Our lives should look like with a difference has been made. And I was reading an article this week in Youth Work magazine by a guy called Martin Saunders, and he said this. He said, in church, we've loosened the expectations on holiness. We've relaxed the requirements for character development and spiritual discipline. Grace, as it does, has covered a multitude of sins, but perhaps we've allowed it to do it so too cheaply. Many of us are just living a PG certificate version of what the world is doing. And I just found that really challenging, because the truth is that there is grace and forgiveness and we're washed clean. But then do we kind of let ourselves just use that as a reason to not live a holy life and not live a life that's changed, and that PG version, maybe less swearing and less sleeping around, but other than that, we're just doing the same as those around us. And later in Ephesians, in chapters 4 and 5, there's loads of stuff about what a holy and blameless life should look like and what our new life in Christ should look like. And I've just pulled out some of them, that it should be different to others around us. It should mean putting off our old self. It should be a life that's full of truth. It should be a life that's not angry. It should be a life that values work and works hard. It should be a life that involves speaking well of others and encouraging others. It's a life that should have no bitterness, no rage, no slander, no malice. It should be a life that's kind and compassionate, a life in which we are imitators of Christ and full of love. Some pretty challenging stuff there. So our new life in Christ is a life that's chosen by us and God choosing us. It's a life that's holy and blameless and should look different to the life of those around us. And the next point is that it's a life that leads us to be adopted into God's family. When we step into a new life in Christ, one of the benefits of that is this new family of church that we're part of. And we still have our earthly families, and it's good to see some of Aaron's family with us today, but we also become part of this new family in Christ. And verse 5 of this passage in Ephesians, and this is why I wanted it read from the NIV, because some of the other versions don't put it like this, but he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. And I love the way the Message version puts this. It says, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. And that's really exciting, isn't it? That God took pleasure in planning to adopt us into his family. And the theologian J.I. Packer says, adoption is the highest privilege that God honours us with. And I don't think it's something we often talk about in church. We used to sing a song a long time ago, didn't we, by Ishmael, Father God, I Wonder, about being adopted into God's family. And, of course, we talk a lot about how we value our church family, and that's really important to us in Ashwood, and it's a really privileged place to be, and we're celebrating Aaron joining our family today. But I don't know if we often consider what adoption really looks like for us, and it's about having a perfect father who loves and cares for us and what we need. And when people are doing a natural adoption, I think they often have a shopping list of what they're looking for in this child that they're going to adopt. It might be that they're young, they particularly want a baby, they're looking for a certain hair or eye colour so it looks like the natural part of the family. It might be that they're kind of saying, I want a child with no disabilities, or a child with no emotional baggage, so I don't have to deal with that. But I just really struck by the fact that what if God had had that kind of shopping list when he was adopting us? And he didn't, did he? He wasn't looking for the perfect child with no baggage and no sin, a child already living the life that he wanted for us. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd have been on his list, or his shortlist even, if that's what he was wanting from. Because the truth is that God doesn't adopt us because he needs it and because he needs a family. He adopts us because we need it, because we benefit from being part of his family. Whatever we come with, God welcomes us into his family. And with him as our perfect father, who knows exactly what we need to change and become holy and blameless. Just a little aside, just to let you know that today is actually Adoption Sunday, and the charity Home for Good, which we have talked about a little bit in church before, is encouraging churches around the country to think about adoption and to reflect on God adopting us, in order that then we can think and pray for children who need earthly families to belong to. I've put some more information about Ashwood News in Ashwood News about that, which comes out today. But just a little fact for you, that there's actually, and this is what Home for Good are promoting, that there's 4,000 children today in the UK who are waiting for an adoptive family, and there's 9,000 foster carers needed for children who are waiting for a family. And the other fact that they're kind of promoting, that there's actually 15,000 churches in the UK. So it doesn't take a brilliant mathematician to work out that 4,000 and 9,000 equals 15,000. And what Home for Good as a charity do is they promote the fact that it would only take one family from every church, with then the support of that wider church, to actually eradicate that need for children to be in care. Obviously, that's a bit personal for us. For those who don't know, me and Paul are foster carers, and we're so grateful to be part of this family of Ashwood who support us and love us, and the young people that have been in our care and are in our care, and that's really important. But that's just a little aside from what we're talking about, but we just wanted to bring that awareness to you. And if you want to know more, there's some bookmarks and postcards on the side and some stuff in Ashwood News about Adoption Sunday. Okay, so we've looked at our new life being chosen, new life being about being holy and blameless, our new life of being adoption in God's family. And just finally, I just want to look at this concept in verse 13 of having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And when we believe, when we ask Jesus, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And a seal is a stamp of ownership. And Ephesians here is talking about us being filled with the Holy Spirit when we make a decision to follow Jesus, as a mark of who we belong to and a guarantee of our future inheritance as part of God's family. So today, as well as it being one day that Aaron makes a decision, it's a day that opens up a whole host of promises to him about his future and his life and here on earth and beyond in heaven. And some people, when they're talking about this passage, talk about the Holy Spirit as being a sort of a down payment or a first instalment of all those promises that is to come. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And it's through the Holy Spirit living in us when we make a decision to follow God that we can go through that process of becoming more holy or set apart, and that we can change our lives. And it's and it means that our lives can demonstrate the changes in our lives that take place when we become a Christian. For those of you who've never heard of the Holy Spirit before, that is what we believe. We kind of believe that God is three parts, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God present with us today. John 14 verse 26, when Jesus was alive, he talked about the Father God will send his Spirit to us as our helper to teach us and remind us of what Jesus did for us. And so when we become a Christian, we receive the Holy Spirit as our helper, and we're able to live in the strength of the Holy Spirit to help us live this new life in Christ, and to change into who God wants us to be. And the kids over the last few weeks and months have been learning about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and ask any of them about it because they're full of it. I know my kids are. The fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. All of those things that are marks of a holy and blameless, changed life, changed new life in Christ. And so it's when we live in the strength of the Holy Spirit that we're empowered to live the new life that Christ has called us to, a promise that we're not on our own in trying to work that out in our lives. So I'm excited about my new life in Christ. I'm excited about Aaron's new life in Christ today, that's chosen, holy and blameless, different to those around us, that we're adopted into God's family and we're helped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live that life. Thanks.
Brilliant. Janet's going to come and help us, and we're going to invite Aaron to come and share some of his story. But that was, I don't know about you, but that was really helpful, Zoe painting that picture for us.
Thank you. Hello. Fancy meeting you here.
Hello, yeah.
It's been my pleasure to be part of the talking with Aaron, part of his preparation for coming today to see what he knew, to fill in any gaps, to sort of check out that he understood what he's doing. And I have no doubt in my mind that he is very, very well aware and up for this. So the celebration over there we had last week as well is very much part of it, isn't it, Aaron?
Definitely.
Anyway, so, Aaron, we now would like you to tell us how you've come to be here today and what you're doing about, what's today about.
Okay. Well, Matt said to me, it's probably a good idea to write things down. And as I was on my PC just like typing away, I thought it's definitely good because, you know, 3 pages needed to be condensed into something that was tangible. So
if he goes astray, I'll tap him on the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try and keep to my small script. So God is good. I like to start all my prayers off with this statement because it reminds me that I may not get all my prayers answered in the way I envisaged. Maybe it won't come in the form of divine intervention or even answered from my perspective at all. But the one thing I can always rely on is that my God is good. So I don't have to understand why something didn't happen or why I asked if... So I don't have to understand why something didn't happen the way I asked or if anything is happening at all, because sharing my life with God can only lead to good things. And the reason I'm sharing this with you today is because my journey began with a prayer which has ultimately led me to this moment. So as you can imagine, it was a pretty good one. How many of us here have ever bartered with God? Probably quite a few. I'm not sure it's the done thing, but I'd like to see the statistics of how many people began following God from a deal that was made. Probably more than we think. As many of you are aware, I'm a newly qualified radiographer now specialising in ultrasound. But before that, I was a very stressed out student. Mountains of work and objectives that seemed almost impossible to achieve. I was told that I couldn't go and specialise straight away, because I'd not been qualified for X amount of years, even though I knew I had the capability to do so. This one particular day, I was under an enormous amount of pressure. I'd begun my dissertation with other work on the go, and I'd also received an email from a prospective hospital telling me that I needed more experience before I go and specialise. It definitely wasn't my finest hour, and I needed help. So I turned to the Almighty God, and I said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like no matter where I turn, there isn't an answer. Please, please, please give me some direction and a little clarity. If you do this, then I'll tell you what, I'll go to church. And I think, ping, is probably what happened. And so began the testing of Aaron. It was like being hit by a bolt of clarity. The weight was instantly taken off my shoulders, and I was able to look at everything I needed to do from a different perspective. So you know what I did? I went to church. From there, I kept coming and holding on to that same promise I'd been made, ever terrified at some point that God might just leave and leave me without answers, and once again, stressed. I started doing the Alpha, and I learned what it meant to give my life to God. And in those sessions, I felt like someone was with me there, giving me my weekly dose of holy pep talk. God said to me, we can do this, not just half of it, all of it. So I carried on. It was hard work, and there was times where I had doubts, but I kept believing that my God was good. The moment I got the phone call telling me that I got the ultrasound position, I knew that I wanted to give my life to Jesus. But I think that decision was made when I first put my hands together more than a year ago and asked for help. After I announced my intention to be baptized, a few people informed me that that brings its own trials and that I should be on my guard. And I would say to those who haven't been baptized or those who still don't know where they stand with God that I am not afraid, because I don't know what will happen, but I do know that I am better walking with my Lord than walking without him, because my God is good. Yeah. So I just wrote a little prayer that I thought I'd like to do. So, dear Lord, I want to share your blessing with everyone here at Ashwood Church. I want you to fill them with your clarity and your holy pep talk. I want you to give them the strength to believe that every bit of good done in your name is a miracle to someone else. Because the majority of miracles don't happen with divine intervention. They happen because your Holy Spirit radiates through the core of those who believe. I want you to encourage everyone here to bring your blessing in everything they do and believe that with you, anything is possible. Amen.
Isn't that good? So they are excited, I think, Aaron. Great. Richard, Cheryl, do you want to come and join me? The next step that Aaron and his girlfriend Holly over there after Alpha, they've started doing first steps as another part of them discovering more about walking with Jesus and what the Bible says and what they, how they can respond to that. And Richard and Cheryl have been doing that with them. Do you understand between us? They're going to pray for him as part of their support and encouragement to him. So I'll hand it over to them.
I'm going to put my phone down because I'm not sure how this is going to go, with tears or shaking or whatever. So in the week, Aaron, I've been playing a song constantly, which is a song that's a long time ago. I'm not sure if you'll remember it or not, but the words came to me of, here we go. Lord, you have my heart. And I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. And he says, and I will praise you, Lord. I will sing of love come down as you show your face. And it just gave me a picture of you walking today with God, holding his hand and him holding yours, and just saying, Aaron, I take you and I will lead you on. With everything that comes with it. And it's just, I'm so, so excited for you. And the story that comes with it. It's just great. It really is. It's great. Sorry.
Thanks, Shaz. Yeah. I need more than that, I think. As we've obviously been going through first steps, Aaron, from day one, he was pretty keen, or as I like to call it, and me and Matt stoked about today. And it was never a question of, shall I? He was always relentless, and every week he comes and he's filled to overflowing. He never takes a knock back. His buoyancy is true testament to God's love. So when I was going through my Bible app, as most of you have, I saw a highlighted verse and I thought I'd share it with you today. So it's from John 6 in the Message, and it's 35 to 38. And it's, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more ever. I have told you this explicitly, but even though you have seen me in action, you don't really believe me. Every person the Father gives me eventually comes running to me. And once that person is with me, I hold on and don't let go. I came down from heaven not only to follow my own whim, but to accomplish the will of the one who sent me. Okay? And I just feel that today you're going to be filled even more. You will never go hungry. You won't thirst because he's with you. And he's just going to guide you down that path and align you. So, I just pray for you, mate. Father God, I want to thank you for guiding Aaron to where he is today and the fantastic decision he has made to follow you. We pray that today, as Aaron gives his life to you, that you will keep him aligned and that you will continue to guide him on his journey with you as he begins a new, exciting chapter of his life as a Christian. We pray that you will never let go. He will never let go of you, like you will never let go of him, and that he will never go hungry or thirst anymore, but that he will want more of you every day. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Aaron, as I was thinking of you being baptized today, it just occurred to me that actually in your role as a radiologist, that actually you get to see things. And you mentioned in your story just then that the starting point was that God is good. And I felt actually that God was nudging me to say to you today that actually one of the things that you have seen already almost at the start of your journey with him is this truth that God is good. And that actually shapes a lot of the other things that you will see as you grow into the man that God's making you in him. And I was reminded of a couple of verses in Colossians 1. It says, and this is part of a prayer, but it says, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." And as you kind of, you did this deal with God where you said, "God, I need some clarity here." I just feel that actually one of the things that today God is promising is that it wasn't a deal that you made with him back then that was, you know, with terms and conditions. Actually, it's now going forward that he's going to give you wisdom and clarity as a result of that prayer. And then verse 10 is a kind of the consequence of that. And it says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives or your life will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And I see in you, Aaron, someone who is, you've had a passion to grow and learn. There's been a few stumbles in the road from times. You just mentioned some of those now. But I know when you were doing the Alpha course that you mentioned with the people around you in that, that actually you were encouraging them every week as well to stay on track. And I believe that actually that is one of the things that God has put in you, that you are Aaron the encourager. And that there'll be things that you do. So even this morning, I don't know if everyone in here noticed, but when we introduced Aaron, most of us, our natural inclination is to sort of stand up. And sometimes I stand at the front and I say, "And so-and-so is helping with the knitting group, and would they like to stand up?" And they go, "Well, not really, but I will do." And they're kind of like, they're a bit tentative. Whereas this morning, when someone mentioned Aaron, he was launched off his seat. He was Zebedee for a moment. Those of you who remember the Magic Roundabout, who I'm not sure if it's a really healthy thing these days, but Zebedee, you jumped off your chair and you were saying, "Look, here I am," and there's a real confidence. And I know part of that is your personality, but actually there's part of it is a confidence in who God is making you as well. And we want to pray with you today. And why don't we all pray for Aaron? You may be sat there thinking, "I've got something that I would like to encourage Aaron with this morning." Well, that's great. We want Aaron to get all the encouragement that God has for him today. And Zoe mentioned about us being a family, and that is really important to us as church. And so there's two things. One is, if you've got something that you feel that God is saying to Aaron that you want to encourage him with, we've got a little box over there and people can write things down. In fact, it's really helpful if you do write things down, because then Aaron can remember the stuff that God has said to him today. But the second thing is, let's be, as the church family together, let's make sure that we are praying for Aaron in these days to come. You said at the end, he said, "I'm not afraid," which is a great place for him to be. But as church, we make sure that we're standing alongside him. We are asking God's protection over him, that he's spiritually protected by God. It's true, and Zoe mentioned it this morning as well, and Tom in his story, there's a devil who is out to get us and to rob and steal and destroy. But we don't need to be afraid, because we have got God with us, in us, and it puts us part of family as well. So it's a really positive place to be. And so if you've got something you'd like to pray or write, then do that afterwards. But why don't we all pray for Aaron together? Let's close our eyes for a moment. And if you want to, just reach out your hands as a sign of saying, "God, would you pour out your blessing upon Aaron today?" Let's pray together, shall we? Well, Father, we thank you for Aaron today, Lord. We love hearing his story. We love hearing great stories of the things that you've done in our lives. And sometimes we find ourselves with abstract concepts of what it means to know your love. And as Zoe's spoken to us so brilliantly this morning, we're reminded of the truth what we can receive if we make a decision to be in Christ, as putting our trust and our faith in him. And Lord, I thank you today that Aaron's declaration is that you are good. It's not affected by his circumstances, it's not affected by where he stands or where he puts his feet or what's happening around him. But he's declared today that God is good. And I thank you that that's the bedrock of his life. Thank you that that's the place where he's standing. And today, as the church family here in this place, we are asking that your blessing would be upon him. We pray that you continue to speak to him with real clarity. Pray that you'd underline to him the words of truth that are in his life. Thank you that he is a man of encouragement. Thank you that he is Aaron the encourager. And Lord, I thank you for so many people who've already been encouraged through his life. and for the future of so many other people being encouraged through the words and through his life and the choices that he makes. We're so excited, God, to be baptizing him today. We ask that you would fill him with your spirit, pour out your blessing upon him, that as he steps from his old life into his new life, symbolically in this baptism pool, that you will set him free from all the things that hold him back, and set him free to live his life for you, free to live, free to give, free to be the man that you've called him to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! So we're going to take a moment. Aaron's just going to get changed. The people who are going to be part of helping baptize. Oh, he's there. And so why don't we just respond in worship. We're going to stand and sing a song together. Let's do that.